Today on The Grid, our topic is, there's more to shooting events than you might think. Eric, of course, Eric, the real Rocket Man. I've been a while since I've been on the show. I can't be held up to these standards any longer. Eric, the real Rocket Man Kuna is here, and we have a special in-studio guest. Joe Cacioppo is here. And what else do we have? Oh, I've got a surprising story to tell you about my travel photography workshop in Budapest. It's something you won't see coming. We've got some news. We've got a ridiculous amount of giveaways for the kind of show we are. And this all starts when? When does this start? It all starts in just 23.2 seconds. Let's go!
Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the tripod alternative that is changing the world. Everybody has a Platypod. You should too. Go to platypod.com.
I have nothing. I know nothing.
Oh gosh.
Oh, hey.
All right. Welcome to the Grid, everybody. Joe's
hey, look
here.
At
Eric's
the
here.
Jib. The jib. That was really good. No, we didn't get a count in.
We did not get a count in. We're supposed to get a five,
well, we
four,
did get
three.
The awesome jib movement there.
I just want you guys to guess who's on the jib. Just take a wild guess. Is it Juan? It's the other guy. Anyway, welcome. Joe's here. Eric's here. We got a very interesting topic today because we're going to look at a different aspect of shooting events that I don't think most people think about. And so we're going to talk about that. And when I say events, we're not talking about weddings. Look at Joe. Does he look like a wedding photographer? No. He looks like an aviation photographer. I can feel it. Look at that. He's got a cool hat. I wore my aviation hat today. Yeah. Eric just is aviation. Yeah. So he's an aviator. So anyway, hey, I'm married to an aviator.
There you go.
That's something. All right. So anyway, that's what's up. So we're going to be talking about that today. We've got lots of cool giveaways, and let's just get the giveaways out of the way. What are we giving away today?
So we're giving away a bunch of prizes because that's what we like to do here on the Grid. We're giving away a Platypod disc, so you can get a Platypod disc. Somebody on the show is going to win that. This is a great attachment for the bottom of your camera. Allows you to mount basically any which way or direction. It also allows you to adapt, say, a Platypod to different threading. So there's a bunch of different ways you can use it. So somebody's going to win that. Then we got the How Do I Do That in Photoshop book by Scott. Scott's How to Just Do That in Photoshop book. It's available on Amazon, as you can see right there, but somebody's gonna win that today. And then we're gonna give away a copy of Scott's Photoshop for Digital Photographers book, which is also available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, Amazon.
What isn't available on Amazon.com?
Everything is
available.
All
right, and then On One No Noise 2024, a great plugin for removing noise and adding sharpening to your photo. We're giving that away.
Hey, I have a question about, can I interrupt there for a moment?
Yes.
If you were to have On One 2024, in fact, I think I have it here. Give me one second.
I do too.
I want to launch it here. Give me a second. Oh, I have to launch it through this, don't I? Oh, it's not going to lie.
No, because you have Photo Raw, Photo Raw is awesome because it's got everything built into it. You don't even have to go.
What I was going to show you was when you launch it, Eric's picture, an incredible rocket shot, the opening splash screen for it.
Yes, and that shot was shot at 6400 ISO,
and it's on the No Noise AI splash screen.
No noise remaining.
I thought that
photo
was kind of cool. So
because On One No Noise took it right out. All right, and then we're going to give away a V flat from V Flat World. So now this is for U.S. shipping only. So you have to have a U.S. shipping address to win this. But everybody can win over at VFlat because you can use the code KELBY10 at checkout. That's KELBY10 at checkout, and you'll save 10%. And Retouch For Me is giving away their Mattifier app. So this is a great app for retouching people inside of Photoshop. It's automated and uses AI. But everybody can win on that one, too. They got to use the code KELBY120. At checkout. Now they do have to go to promo.retouch4.me to redeem that promo code. And then I think there's another prize down at the end, but we have so many prizes. Yes, and then SlickPick is giving away a 1 year of their classic gallery plan to a new customer only. And you can all get a discount over there at slickpick.com/Kelby1. So there you go. Now, to enter that, all you got to do is leave us a comment no matter where you're watching. Joe, where do you watch the show?
At home, on my computer.
Yeah, but where, do you watch it on Facebook? Do you watch it on YouTube?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
Watch on Facebook.
So facebook.com/S Kelby. You can enter there. You can enter over on YouTube. You can enter over on our website. Anywhere you're leaving a comment, they're monitoring it, and they're going to pick out the winner for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're wondering who Joe is, we're going to give you a little insight into Joe before we go into this Budapest thing. So every year, Eric and I and a bunch of great photographers, I'm not saying that Eric and I are great photographers, other great photographers, and they let me and Eric go, shoot this big air show. It's like the second largest air show in America now. It's like Oshkosh and then Sun and Fun. Huge air show. Everybody goes. It's like it's a big, big thing. And Joe is our boss. And he's intolerable as a boss. There's a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of you idiot. He's
throwing your photos back at you.
Yeah, he throws our photos back.
Memory
he takes
cards,
our memory cards and throws
chucks
them. He just chucks them. He's not a very nice guy, I'll just tell you straight. And he threatened us and said, if I don't go on the grid, you guys are never going to shoot there again.
Yes.
And so that's how Joe is here today. So it's part of a threat. So, but anyway, Joe is a joy and a very good photographer in his own right, but he's also the boss. And so he assigns all the photographers. And that's what we kind of want to talk about Joe's angle on this today, because if you think, all right, it's an air show and we're all going to go, we're going to shoot airplanes. And if you come back and you give Joe 1,000 perfect crisp shots of the Thunderbirds, Joe's like, I already had 75,000 shots of the Thunderbirds. So we're going to talk kind of about what it means when you're shooting, covering an event, and like what does the event organizer want rather than what you want, which is another 10,000 shots of the Thunderbirds zipping by on a blue sky.
But I would even argue, Scott, that we need as aviation photographers to get out of taking the same shot. I see so many people taking the same shot over and over and over again from the same position. I've seen them shoot forever.
And I want to talk about that, and I want to whine and complain about that.
Yes.
So that's what's coming up in our next segment. First, I wanted to talk briefly just about, just came back from Budapest. I did a workshop with 12 wonderful photographers. We had such a great group of people. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody on this workshop had already been to one of my workshops.
Wow.
So it was nice. Everybody kind of knew each other. Yeah. Like everybody
knew the process,
lobby, hugging everybody, and it was like a family reunion. It was awesome. Now, you know, I went to Cuba like last year, and I talked about the spirit of the Cuban people is amazing. Mm-hmm. The Cuban people, I'm not kidding, the friendliest place I've ever been, Cuba.
Yes.
They were the friendliest, nicest, warmest. Other places I've been where it really stands out that people were really, really nice. Lisbon. Mm-hmm. The Portuguese people are phenomenal. India, just the most welcoming. Now, Budapest, not like that. It was weird. They weren't very friendly. And everybody said it. Like, everybody in the group came up to me at some point and said, are these people kind of grumpy? So everywhere we went, and nobody was mean, and nobody was... It was just like their entire society is not happy.
Wow.
Now, it could have been the time we were there. It could have been, I don't know. It was nice blue skies. We had rain one day. We got rain. One shoot just rained out, but we already had a backup plan.
Was it grumpier that day or happier?
It was the same.
Same.
Like,
so it was always just kind of like overall kind of meh.
I would say that everybody there was completely indifferent to you. Like if you met somebody, forget joking with them. Don't go like, you know, they're just like you check in the hotel. Great hotel too. We stayed in a wonderful hotel. And they're like, hello. And you're like, hi, I'm checking in. And your last name. And they did everything. And they weren't rude. They weren't mean. They weren't nasty. But they weren't nice. Everybody. Restaurants, shops, bus drivers, everybody. I met one nice guy that we hired a bus company, and the guy that ran the bus company was actually very nice. He was very nice and friendly. But outside of him, he was the only nice person I could find. I know it sounds terrible to feel bad saying this, Because usually everywhere you go, people are so nice. I'm not saying don't, because Budapest is a lovely city. It's very photogenic, really photogenic. It's right. Like, you know, it's like another Prague type of place, except for in Prague, everyone's really friendly and nice. And here's the thing that's interesting. Ready? It's dirt cheap. It's like super crazy cheap. Like big beers are like a dollar and food's like, it's so inexpensive, like so inexpensive. Right. Like, I'll give you an example.
But they're not happy about that.
No, they should be thrilled. They should be thrilled. I did an open bar one night for 16 people. Open bar, bottles of wine, people are drinking shots, they're doing scotch and all. And I'm thinking, here comes a $700, $800 bill. It was like $160. I was like, open bar. It was like, we should do this every day. It was ridiculously cheap. And everywhere you went, it was like the food was great.
Yeah.
The restaurants were great. There's great shopping. And everybody just walks around like, it was crazy.
So beyond that, how was the photography?
Not good.
Yeah.
No, it was cold as crap the whole time we were there. Literally, Joe, we're waking up in the morning to get a shoot. We're leaving our hotel at 4:45. We arrive at the scene and it's like 34 degrees.
So cold for us.
Cold for Tampa.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm coming from 85 degree weather. And I was like, you know, wearing gloves. I mean, it wasn't real windy, thankfully, but it was cold.
There you go.
I got a shot on here on screen here. Let me open this up a little bigger. Got a group shot for you. Here's group. And look at that. Look at this.
There's a dog.
We got a dog. We got a dog.
He even has a frown on his face.
Even he was unhappy. Mm-hmm. No, these are, if you want to see a picture gathered of all the happy people in Hungary, here they are. They're all in this one shot. And we got up one morning, so you can't really tell because this is kind of blown out here because I accidentally made a mistake during a tutorial. But behind us is this famous church, very, very famous. The big famous St. Stephen's, I think, cathedral is back at the end of the street. And so if you go there at any time of day or night, it is just a mob scene of people. It's like the center thing in town, and there's 5,000 people there. But Eric, what happens if you get there at about 7 in the morning?
It's probably overrun.
No, there's nobody there. Nobody. Just us photographers. But about 7:15, here comes delivery trucks and all kinds of, and the shoot was over. But anyway, we took this group shot.
Yeah, it's just that there's that fine line about 20 minutes when it just wakes up, right?
Yep, once they start waking up, it doesn't stop, and then tourists start coming. And then when the light gets really bad, then the photographers show up.
But there are times when you want to be shooting during the daylight. So,
No, there are in different places. This is on this bridge. We got up first thing in the morning. This is about 5. The sun came up very early. Sunrise was 5 something.
Yeah, I remember looking at it with a few photo poles, and it was pretty early.
Yeah, it's quite early. They were long days. I only have a few photos to show you. This is another one we took at night.
Yeah.
You know, the city lights up absolutely beautifully, which is another reason they should be happy. It's a beautiful city with great food and wonderful architecture. And so this is one I went back to. So this is the library, and I was able to get our group in there for an hour, able to use tripods and everything before the public got in. So we got to go to this. Now this shot, I have to tip my hat to one of my participants, Scott Berger, got this shot, and I missed it. I did not get this shot. And I actually went back and said, Scott, can I go back and stand where you were? He's like, yes, go back and do it. Go back. So I did it. So it's really a Scott Berger shot, and I took one. But it was one of my favorite shots from the – from his shot was one of my favorite shots from the thing. You know, I actually could – I could show you. So one of the things that I do in the workshop is on the last day – this is going to sound weird, Joe, but on the last day, I make up – like magazine spreads, because what I'm trying to teach the participants is every shot doesn't have to be a hero shot. Sometimes it's a shot of a door handle or a plate of food or something that help tell the shot, you know, that if you were shooting for a travel magazine, you need these supporting shots. So I put together these magazines. I'll show you some. I'll do them real quick, but I'll show you some of the magazine. Now these will be the ones from my students. They're not from me. So I didn't do one for myself because I'm a loser. No, hang on a second.
Well, it's probably because you were working so hard on the other stuff.
Yes, I was working so hard on the other stuff.
Don't say that.
All right, no. That's what it was. I'm trying to. Oh, I gotta see where I stuck the mags.
All right.
Give me 1 second. I'm almost there.
You got this organizational structure now.
I do have an organizational structure. Thank you. All right.
All right. He found them.
All right. So this is what these are what the magazine spreads look like. Look at that nice shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. I think these are from Teresa. You got some leading lines there.
So, cool train station.
Yeah, this was a tough one because we're on this bus and I'm telling them, okay, guys, our next stop is a train station. I know it sounds bad, but it's going to be good. When we go inside, there's going to be great light and there's these cool trains and I promise you it's going to be a good shot. And of course, it did turn out to be a great shot. We also hired a model and went on location and shot in a beautiful area in Budapest, and that you can see her there. And then I create a cover for them as well. I'll show you just a couple more because it's very funny cool. Because we're all together, right? And you would think mm-hmm. everybody's magazine would look the same, but oh, they don't. No. Oh, they no. don't. They come out very different.
Oh, yeah.
And let's take a look here.
It is amazing.
Yeah, here's take a look at it. Look at this one. This is from Kelly Jones. You guys know Kelly Jones, Kelby One instructor. Kelly Jones, who was on the show here just a little while ago. And there again, that's from our model shoot, 2-page spread. Look at that.
It's always interesting to see. I love that, is seeing 12 people and how they viewed the same scene.
Yeah, 12 people in the same
they'll
location.
They'll never be the same.
A different perspective from everybody.
Yeah, look at this one. Man, he got some killer shots, didn't mm-hmm. he? Oh, so this is one. When I go up to the model and I go, are you up for an adventure? When the train comes, there's 8 seconds before the doors close. I need you to jump on the train, turn around, and step off like you just arrived at the station. And I said, you only have 8 seconds. And she did it a number of times. The train would come and she'd jump on it and come on. And everybody got great pictures. I want to show you one. Let me show you one of my favorite pictures from her. This is from Sherry. And she's the one with the dope. She got that little dope. All right, let's look at her shots. So look, here's in the library. Laying mm-hmm. down on the ground below the spiral staircase, yep. right? A completely different view. Look at that. I thought mm-hmm. that looked like a spread from
a
travel magazine or a fashion magazine.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a pooch. What's that? That's cold, a super dope. But anyway, just to give you an idea of the difference. But look how all the shots are so different. And this is a completely different mm-hmm. perspective. Now, Sherry shot this shot, and some of the people saw her shot and went back and shot the same location the next night.
I love how she got lower than the bridge, and you can see the Parliament back there.
Oh, yeah, you can see the Parliament Village.
But do you see how it's not, like, intersecting with the bridge?
Yeah. No,
if you don't get low enough, you're not going to get there.
Right, nope. She did all that, and there's from up in Fisherman's Bastion. I'll show you one more. Let me just grab another one while we're here. How about the Vito? Vito's always good because he's Vito. All right. This is up at Fisherman's Bastion. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful. We had Blue Hour to death. This is what we call Vito Drive because Vito knew about this little drive that was kind of out of the way. But it had this, you know, it's just a great little drive there. Here's more Fisherman's Bastion. There's full length of the model. Here's Willie. That's Willie. He's one of our participants and a super great guy and a really good shooter. And there's a black and white version. It's everybody got stuff different. Anyway, you get an idea. We had just a wonderful time and lots of fun and just fun.
Well, hey, we gotta take a break.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, we're finally gonna get to our topic, which is I forget what it is. Something about events. No.
Yes.
Yes.
Something about events.
Something about events. When we come back, and we'll
there's the
Joe.
Jib.
There's more
the
to
jib.
An
Look
event.
How smooth it is. Let's see if it cuts off our head. There goes our
it's
heads.
Cutting.
No.
Okay, landscape photographers, wildlife photographers, all you guys, travel photographers. I've had so many of you come up to me and go, You know what? I stink at taking portraits. I'm not any good at them. I've never taken a good portrait. I'm not a portrait guy. Just not me. I'm not a portrait gal. Nope, not me. You know what? You're probably not until you watch this course. I'm gonna set you up for success. We're gonna stack the deck, and all of a sudden, the clouds are gonna part. You're gonna take your first portrait following everything I say in this class. You're gonna look in the back of your camera and you're gonna go, holy cow, I can do this. You're gonna become a portrait photographer when you do this, and you're gonna fall in love with the whole process because it's easy and simple. There's steps that people are leaving out and I'm putting them in. You're gonna get all of them in my brand new course. It's called Taking Your First Portrait and Knocking It Out of the Park. And it's exclusively here at Kelby One. Hi folks, I know a lot of you photographers out there are using On1 software, and you probably heard that they came out with their new On1 Photo RAW 2024. I just did a class on it, and there's some mind-blowing stuff in there. You have a RAW processor, and it's a good RAW processor, but it's also got all of the On1 filters. It's got effects, it's got portrait AI, it's got sky replace, best sky replacement anywhere, by the way. They've got all kinds of these plugins that are, they're all built in there. It's like a whole ecosystem of a million things, and you can just keep building and building and building. It's pretty mind-blowing. There's a lot to it, but I'm gonna take you through all of it. We're gonna start from scratch. We're gonna do a live shoot in the studio. We're gonna bring the images in. We're gonna edit them. We're doing landscape shots. We're doing travel shots. We're doing it all, and you're gonna see the whole thing from start to finish. Come check out my brand new class on On1's Photo RAW 2024. It's only one place. It's exclusively at KelbyOne.com.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Canon.
Hey, there we are.
Whoa, we got a live studio audience.
There's Christina.
There's Christina over there.
And look at that.
Look, a fake jib.
And look at Dobbs is in the jib shot.
You were actually in the jib shot.
Yes.
Oh, Dobbs, right. I have such high hopes for you.
Apparently you have a lot of fun around.
All right, I will say this. Despite Dobson's lack of finesse, we'll call it, on the jib, as a Call of Duty Warzone partner, he's very, very good. He gets a lot of kills.
And I will say,
he'll revive you if you're down.
The other thing is, when it comes to other things, Dobson's on point.
Dobson is on point.
On point.
Yeah, like when we send
Dobson, I don't know why we put Dobson on. It's like we're trying to like really we don't like him or something. We're like, here, work the jib. The one thing that's really hard for you.
You could do other stuff. We have many.
There's so many other things that he does. It's awesome.
All right, let's get to our topic. Oh, God.
Yep, there's the jib.
Back to our topic. So, the reason we thought it would be great to have Joe on today is to give a different perspective. Because yes. Eric and I, we shoot a lot of air shows, and we know what we want. We go, we're looking for planes in the air. But Joe actually is working on behalf of Sun and Fun. He's trying to deliver images that they need for publicizing, for social media, for marketing and all. So tell me about your job and tell me what you're trying to get from the photographers that cover your events?
Well, being at the event is amazing. And first of all, being here, thank you very much. This is absolutely amazing being on the grid. But the air show itself is, sure, there's people that come to the air show, they have a great time, and they watch these airplanes. But us as photographers that we work as volunteers for Sun and Fun, we need to deliver certain products, because taking pictures of airplanes, like we're saying, we have a bazillion pictures of just airplanes in the air. We need to show off the air show. We need to show that people come to this air show, people are enjoying it. So we'll try and I'd like to get where people are behind the crowds, as an example, not just simply get in front of them. We need people behind them to show these people are sitting there with their cameras watching, or kids on top of a dad's shoulder looking at the air show, you know, pointing at things. And it's really great to see something like that, because you see it and you say, yeah, okay, that looks pretty good. I might want to go to this air show. But we want to show off the air show. We want to show the vendors. We want to show the people walking around, the pilots. We'll have the interaction between the pilots and the guests and things like that. So we try and get it, marketing shots, you might say. There's something to that effect, where we want to be able to, again, show off everything to the air show, not just the airplanes. People do come for the airplanes. We have so many events going on at the air show, and we need to show all those off. And so my photographers get out there and they have assignments. We tell them, okay, here's your assignment today. We have the pilots are going to be talking to kids. So we send people over there to that. We have the airplane, the Thunderbird, the Blue Angels, they're coming in. We'd like to have the photographers there as the plane comes in, so we can show off with the pilots, get out, and then we'll have a little interview with the pilots, as an example. But we want to show everything about the air show. So the photographers that we have get spread out all over, and they take everything, even the campers. We have people that are camping at the air show. We'd like to show them off.
Yeah. So what you're saying is there's more to the air show than just a plane against a blue sky.
Exactly.
And that's what you're trying to show is, it really is. It's a great event. The event itself is phenomenal because, well, I mean, you've got food trucks and all these different food areas. You have vendors. Now, if you're a pilot, there's so much for you there. I mean, there's big stores set up with pilot gear, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can.
Sponsors.
There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Sponsors have events
booths,
there. All kinds of booths.
Tents,
and when speakers. when you're saying, that's what is interesting. What Joe said, if you just really listen, all the photographers, we're trying to get in front of the crowd, so we have a clear shot at the planes. What Joe wants is us to get behind the crowd.
Yeah,
you want to see the crowd looking at an air show, like the kid on the dad's shoulders and their planes in the background. Like, that's a shot you could really use.
That's where, what we need.
Can you imagine, like, how many shots that Sun and Fun has in their archive of just the Thunderbirds, right? They're there every other year is the Thunderbirds, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at a Thunderbird shot from 10 years ago, it's identical to a Thunderbird.
It's still the same airplane.
Thing. It's the same airplane. They haven't changed.
Same sky.
Right, same sky, same location. They're not like, oh, man, you know what we need? We need a shot of two Thunderbirds crossing. We need the knife blade edge
one more time.
We need one more time.
How many knife edge passes can we get?
Yeah.
We try and get them so lined up just right. And sometimes we just get it.
that is a great point. And I think that's where, like, a lot of times I'll approach that on assignment for you, where it's like, you know, I am not even going to, like, leave. I'm actually positioned behind the show line. That's what I did this past one day. Like, I got shots here where, I mean, it's all from behind.
Yeah, can you all from behind. Can you hit F or something?
Yeah. Yep. So it's all from behind.
See, look at that.
Yeah. So where you've got the crowds and that's what they want. They want the crowds or, you know, people watching, you know, that's the statics that you've got.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. You got the statics. So statics just means the plane sitting on the ground where you can walk up and just look at the plane. Sometimes if it's like a big, like a galaxy or something, you can go in the plane, right?
Yep, yep.
They get tours inside those airplanes, the large ones.
Look at that. Oh, these are good. These are, I like the way you're mixing the statics. Mm-hmm. Planes on the ground. Look at that.
These are very artistic
Where I'm just trying a lot of times to do stuff like that. Or the other one was one day, instead of getting out and shooting where everybody shoots and gets the cool shots, I pulled back and went.
You went outside.
Went outside the air show. And actually got their sign with the performers.
Oh, look at that.
Right? Yeah. So instead of, but then again, this is Sun and Fun sign that's out front, you know.
You're showing off Sun and Fun.
Wait, that's a cool shot right there. You got the formation back there.
Yep. And this was, if I compare it to shooting on the show center, this extremely hard. Extremely hard. The amount that you get the perfect positions, very low. But that's what you're doing. You're out there to get those one or two shots that they need, you know, to kind of show that difference.
Something they started this year, they actually started asking for artistic shots, like some of the ones we were just that saw, some of the ones you have. They're a little more on the artistic instead of just simply showing the people and the airplanes in the background, which are great, and that's what they want. But now they actually started doing, let's do some artistic shots. And when you're showing off the airplane, you have the tail of the airplane here, and here comes the Thunderbirds behind it. Yeah. And you're framing the Thunderbirds with the tail of the airplane as an example.
I didn't see that constellation.
Yeah.
That's a Congi.
Yep. And I just timing it to where the Thunderbird's coming by, got the flag and all that, and I'm just waiting for those moments.
A lot of it's in the timing and patience.
It's hard.
Look at this one.
It's harder, but these are the shots that a lot of people don't have because they don't sit back here. Yep. They want to be up at the show line. They want to be in the front.
I'm really digging these.
But they're not getting that perspective.
Right there. It's all framed right there.
Yep.
I'm super digging these.
And you got the moon. Got to catch the moon sometimes.
And that was from the campground. Yeah. And turning in from the campground, right?
You get the vapor trail off.
And then I'm back to those others. That was just a funny one because this bird photobombed my shot. Totally photobombed it. And what's funny about it is he's actually attacking these two dragonflies over here that are fighting.
Yep. Oh, so
he was going after the dragonflies, but totally took my spot off him and everything. Mm-hmm. So, anyways,
dogfight. All right, Gary has a question, Eric. Gary wants to know, what lens did you shoot with?
So I have been using the new 200 to 800 RF lens. So all the telephoto shots there, the wider shots that what you saw were the 24 to 240. So this year I shot with a 24 to 240 and the 200 to 800. So I had the 24 to 240 on an R6 and I had the 200 to 800 on an R7. And then I flip-flopped that mattering on locations I was at because the one time when I had the R7 was more when I was on the tower. And let me show you some of those, like here where I was on the tower. With the tower, if you go to these shots, maybe. Yeah, so I'm really far away. So I've got that at 800 millimeters, and then I've got it on a crop. So it's out at 1280. So I'm at 1280, but that's what I needed to get that compression, to get that tightness on the shots. But being up that elevated position, I'm getting those different kind of angles there. So you can see, and now this can be achieved in many different ways. A lot of air shows near airports. One I was recently at, there's a parking garage. You can get on top of a parking garage and get shots very similar to this. So a lot of times it's about getting those different angles. That's actually the Thunderbird just buzzing right by the tower. So that's a wide angle lens that they're just buzzing by. But putting yourself in those different positions that not everybody gets to, where everybody's gonna be at the show center and everybody's gonna get the same shot, but put yourself in those different positions and it opens up.
For speed, it's if you happen to have two cameras, then you'll have your long lens on one and your wide angle in the other. Mm-hmm. So if something comes up, like you said, the Thunderbirds came right by the tower, you needed your wide angle,
the other one.
Pop it right out. You don't have to sit there and change lens. By that time, they're gone.
Yeah.
All right, I'm doing the artistic thing. I'm trying the artistic thing, but in a different way. So the statics that they show at the air show. So for a thing I did for the VIP members, I built a photo book. And we did it together live. But this is what when I go to the statics, I'm trying to get stuff like this where it's very minimalistic kind of thing. And actually I would have the title here, but I don't. Because this is a work in progress.
Very minimalistic.
But, yeah, I'll show you some of the where I'm getting just parts of the plane. So look at that one on the right. That is an ugly plane, a B-52. Mm-hmm. That's the wing of a B-52, which is not a very pretty plane.
It's called the Big Ugly Flying Friend.
The big ugly flying friend. And these actually should be switched here. Woo! There we go. That looks better. And I think that was my original cover shot. But I'm going to show you the ugliest plane. I think, what do you think the ugliest plane is?
A-10.
What do you
A-10
think, Joe?
Warthog.
I have a decent shot of an A-10 in here because it's only part of an A-10. And by the way, this shot is actually cropped like that. That way, I shot it that way.
Yeah.
With just that part of it showing. But look at that A. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad shot of an A-10. Now that's a B-1 on the left. And again, I'm shooting.
A-10 is awesome too.
It's an awesome plane, but it's just ugly. But yeah. I thought this isn't a terrible picture. There's more to it. I think there's a little bit more. That's not a terrible picture of an A-10.
Yeah.
As long as you don't see a whole bunch of it, it's got some nice shadows and stuff. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff that I've been shooting at the statics. Now these were shot 2 days before Sun and Fun in Texas. This was at the Fort Worth Air Show at the Naval Base there in Fort Worth, at a Naval Air Station actually.
Yeah.
But all right, you were gonna say something?
No.
I thought you queued up a picture.
No.
All right, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we got your comments. If you have comments or questions or anything, just pop them. And by the way, that's how you win prizes, is drop us a comment and then you're entered. And the comment could be anything. It could just be, hey, I want to win the, that's the other thing. You got to tell us what you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So drop us a comment and we'll be back in just a moment. And we've got more stuff on, there's more to events than you might think.
Gentlemen, girls and boys of all ages, you need to see this class. Hey, this is a Kelby One class that's going to talk about using the iPhone with a strobe. I'm going to go to some amazing places in Nelson, Nevada. A jet plane crash, an old classic building. You want to be there to see those locations and see how I've used this strobe to make some amazing images. Wow. And then I'm going to show you how I process the images. Let's get going. Be sure and check out my latest class on KelbyOne.com.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the world's most compact tripod base.
All right, there's a...
Was that artistic?
That was artistic.
That was
artistic. That was yes. Exactly it. All right, we got some questions and comments. Hey, so I mentioned that I went to another air show. I went to that Naval Air Station the day before, and Kelly Jones, famous Kelby One instructor, got us access to the Blue Angels. So we got to go out on the flight line at around sunset and just hang out there for 45 minutes and just shoot from every angle. This is one of the ones that I got. I really haven't gotten through them yet, but I like this one. It's just a low angle. You know, you can probably see me in the reflection there, but I think if you look close enough. But it was cool to get to go on the flight line because usually there's a bunch of junk around. They have all kinds of like...
Oh, they're covered up too.
Yeah, they have the engines covered and all the, and there's all these different things, but they didn't. It was really great. Very, very neat to have that kind of access. It's very unusual to have that kind of access. I remember one year I went to Sun and Fun. This was, I think it was 2012, Joe. It was way back then. Wow. And they did have the Blue Angels out there, but they had like guards and you couldn't get near them, and they had all this stuff. Everything was roped off, and there's rope and stanchion and cones and all that. And it makes it hard to get a good shot. We didn't have all the tools we have today to get rid of that stuff.
Yeah,
the but good it's much thing easier. Is being one of the official photographers, we actually had an assignment to go to the Blue Angels that morning, and we had an escort. We had to stay within 50 feet of that escort. But the cool thing is the Blue Angels were lined up on one side and we were going around them, no problem. And right next to it was a F-22. So we turned around, he says, don't get too close type for pictures. And we did, sort of.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good pictures.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm telling my wife we had an escort. All right, let's move on. We got a question here. Josh Hill wants to know, and I'll throw this over to Eric. What's the best way to find out where these air shows are happening?
Oh, you know, Google. Just Google air show season 2024, and you'll have a list come up. There's a few sites out there, but just Google it. And it's great because a lot of those sites will tell you, like, who's performing, where they're performing at, all that good stuff.
It was easy.
And the sites usually give you the website of that particular air show, and then you can see what their lineup
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's great.
Josh wants to know, how long did you have to wait to get that 200 to 800?
So, 4 months. It was on back order. So.
It's on back, so, yeah. Back order.
But, you know, that's what you just got to order. I will say, for the price, it's like $1,800. That lens is, for the price, like, it's perfect. It's perfect for this kind of stuff. Yeah, there's people that dog it, but people dog every lens about something. And you know, I mean, yes, you know, I wish it did have certain features, maybe, but the price would triple if it had those features. And so I'm fine with it. It obviously is doing fine. It worked out pretty good for me.
Mm-hmm. Here's another shot from that. But I can see I need to get rid of that pole on the left. That pole over there is like, I think Lockheed's back there. Just get rid of that pole. Is that two poles? No, just one. It's still ugly. And since I'm not doing reportage, I'm taking that pole right out.
Yep.
I have no problem with taking that pole out if it's just, you know, for me. But look how clean it is out there, right? Because I'm telling you, there's usually so much junk around, and there's, you know. Yep.
It was the airport markers and the cones. And
there's all kinds of junk, and they have you know, the battery chargers in the back, and they have this big thing that they use to tow them if they need to tow them in front and all that. We were so thrilled we got out there, like, I can't believe how clean this is.
It doesn't happen very often. As many air shows I've been to, you do not get this kind of shot.
No. And you know, what was interesting was Kelly jumped in number two and took it for a few touch and goes that afternoon, and just. No, he did not. He did not steal one of the planes. That would get you in bad graces.
Well,
with the Navy.
He was in the back seat.
Yeah, if you steal one of them, they get very, very cranky.
And, I don't understand why, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I think everybody should be able to jump into Blue Angel. Just do it. I mean, we've all seen Top Gun. How hard can it be? All right. Vic. Vic from Port Charlotte says, I really enjoy the Sun and Fun Air Show this year, even getting rained out on Thursday. After the storm, I was able to get some incredible shots of the warbirds with a wet runway and dramatic skies. Mm-hmm. Why do we like a wet runway? If you might wonder what that is. A wet runway gives you, well, it's really a taxiway, but a wet runway gives you reflections.
Yep.
It gives you, it's shiny, and it gives you reflections that you wouldn't normally get.
It's the same with roads. That's great when after a rain and roads with car lights and all that stuff, you get the reflection.
Yep.
Sometimes you find a little puddle.
Yep.
Make your own puddle.
A
good reflection.
Bring your own
So Joe, tell us about how did you get to the point at which you're doing this at Sun and Fun? Like, what's your background and all that?
Well, I've always loved airplanes. When I was younger, my dad said he'd like to see me be a pilot. And well, I did end up getting my pilot license, and my dad saying, yeah, go ahead and get your pilot license, I'll pay for it. Well, this is back when the cost of pilot license were way less than today. I got right. my license back in 1975. And but it was great having that. So I ended up going to aviation high school. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about airplanes, and then I joined the Air Force. And I decided to work around airplanes. And one of my jobs was to work on the communication systems on the KC-135s and the B-52s. And being in that position was so cool because I had a chance to go on some incentive flights. Means I was able to see refueling in midair.
Ooh.
They have the three bunks in the back, the old KC-135. The middle bunk is for the control operator. He's the guy that operates the boom. You have the trainer bunk, and then you have an observation bunk. And I was able to get an observation bunk. And I have a couple of pictures that I took from back in the 70s. And they're a little greenish, but they show a little bit of what's... This is a picture I took.
Wow.
back when I had the regular film.
And my, you're filming a B-52 there?
Yes, that's a B-52 coming in for refueling. And I had a chance, a good opportunity to see the B-52s. And they were that B-52 was from our base, from our own squadron. So they would do the refueling. And then also I had chance, and I couldn't find the pictures, but I know I have them somewhere for the F-100s and some F-4s. I got some of those pictures. But it was just amazing to see these airplanes. I'm watching them and they're coming in behind us, and we're together like this. And when they hook up, they do everything to stay together. If anything happens, a gust of wind, a turbulence that happens, and the plane detaches, the boom is set for that. It'll just automatically detach from the airplane. You'll see some vapor shoot off, but it automatically closes everything so you don't lose any gas. But when they're done, you watch the airplane drop and then go off on his own, and we just keep on going. The most amazing sight. So when I see things like that, and I love aviation photography, then I found out back in Mississippi when I was stationed at Keesler Air Force Base, I found out about Sun and Fun. So I decided to drive to Florida to go see the air show. So I've been going to Sun and Fun probably since the 80s, sporadically a couple of years here and there, but it's been probably 40 years that I've had a chance to actually go to this air show. And I decided one day, hey, this would be kind of nice. I noticed there's volunteers. I found out about the volunteers, and I ended up being a volunteer as a flight line tour. So if anybody who's been to the Sun and Fun air show and you've had a chance to do the flight line tours, I was the guy in the back observer, making sure we didn't run into anything. And then one year I started looking at the volunteer section. I saw photographer. I said, ooh, I love photography. I love air shows. And I showed the person my photos, because you have to show them, you know, are you any good? So I sent a copy of some of the pictures that I've taken. And they said, yeah, we'd like to have you on our team. And then a couple years later, they said, you're doing well, and we'd like to offer you the position as chairman of the photographers. And so I took it. And since then, I've had a phenomenal team that's absolutely amazing photographers. We actually have, you could describe, we have everything from the backyard photographer to absolute professionals that come on the team, and what they, what they turn in.
We're all you could get.
Yeah, it works hard. But it's amazing. And some of the photos that we get just blow your mind from these people. And also at the air show, by the way, we have the night air shows. And for those of you who attended Sun and Fun this year, you've hopefully had a chance to see the night air show. It's just amazing. You put you pick out an airplane to start with, and maybe you can move on to another one, and that'll be your foreground. But as far as Sun and Fun is concerned, we also need people in the shot, like we were talking about marketing. And you'd be surprised, even at nighttime, you'll still have the people sitting there or some on top of the airplanes, the military airplanes, when you have the people, they're saying, oh, well, we'll get out of your way. No, we want you to stay in the picture.
Stay there.
Well, this is a couple of your shots from this year, right? Right here. Yeah, this. So that's some of yours,
look at
right?
that.
Yeah, we had the drones this year, and which absolutely were amazing. We had three different things, the fireworks, the drones, and the lasers. And the drones.
This is all happening at one time?
This is all these are shots.
And these are your shots?
Yeah, they're about maybe 10 second exposures.
These are really good.
And the fourth aspect of it is the airplane flying while the air show is going. He's shooting off fireworks.
Yeah, and that's why you're getting those trails, like crazy trails.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so you got a an airplane, fireworks, and then you got a drone show all happening at once.
Yeah, and the drones are spelling out Sun and Fun. They were showing some of the drone video is what we really needed, where they actually made an A-10.
Yeah.
And wow. it was the other drones in front of the A-10 would light up, and it says if he's shooting, and then we had the wall of fire go off. So in other words, here's the airplane's going, he's shooting, and from the air, it was amazing from the drones.
Those are good shots.
So the other thing that I love about Sun and Fun, you know, that a lot of people like, this doesn't happen much at air shows. Oshkosh, Sun and Fun, you get this. They have a night air show.
Yes.
Right. And that is my absolute favorite. Why?
Yeah, you're always
because you get
that.
The light. Yes. It brings the light. So here's some shots from this year. So this is the Polaris team taking off. This is before sunset, but it's kind of in that night air show time. But you can see where you start getting
Ooh,
the
that's
sun.
That's nice. Yeah. What's that taken with? The 1200?
So that's the 800. So that's at 800. And then you're going to start getting some of that... that crazier
Ooh,
light
look at that. That's, nice
that's gonna happen. That's a MiG, an old MiG. And you get the parachute. And then we move to the Rhino demo team start coming out. Sun starts dropping lower, getting a little bit more color.
We shoot right through golden hour, yep. Right through blue hour.
Yep, and then you start getting some blue hour on the other side. So golden hour on one side, I'm getting some golden hour light with some blue on the other side. So you kind of just have this almost like endless amount of changing over just a 20-minute routine. Man. You get this endless amount
wow,
of change.
Flying off that into the sunset.
Yeah,
look
there you
at
go.
That.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And then the Mustang comes out a little darker. So now we're at twilight. We're after sunset, and we start getting that twilight glow, all that good stuff.
You.
Oh, and then there's the night, and then the cyber. They had a cyber truck.
They had
there.
a cyber truck drove by me yesterday.
Yeah. So,
bullet holes in the cyber truck.
Yep.
I hope those are decals. All right.
Yeah.
Well, look. Sure. Anybody can get a bunch of airplanes flying around, but can you look what I took?
Yeah.
One sitting still.
But I love it.
It seems kind of stupid after. Now, this only has 30 seconds of post-processing on it because I just did it. That's why I'm sitting here. It needs more. But anyway, that's just it.
This is your Sun and Fun advertising shot, and you got all that room to add
all
the wording in there.
All that glorious room to add text at the top. It.
But the other thing, you know, talking about other events, like the other thing at like an air show is there'll be other events beyond the air show, especially at the bigger ones. Like at Sun and Fun, they have the short takeoff and landing. So like here you can see these photos where, you know, you've got like the pilot, you know, waving to the crowd coming by. You're getting really up close to them. Like these are mostly with the 24 to 240. Not even like I'm not even have to really get out there. You know, like where they're taking off in just a short period. So then I'm behind the crowd, like getting the crowd in front, and then they're buzzing by. Really just cool stuff you can do.
The technique is really
different
great.
At different events. It isn't all just about the air show, you know?
Right.
And what's cool is when these other events come around, you get the better light. You get the better, and it's all about the light. You get the better color, all that good stuff.
If like you can spend the there. Whole day, you got from sunrise all the way through till the sun sets, and you got your golden and blue hours, and you can take some amazing shots at an air show like that.
Yeah,
I think I would like this shot darker. More like that. So take a look at that. Yeah, I think it needed to be a little darker.
Yeah.
So I just lowered the. I'm not sure I'm digging my white balance either. Where is my white balance? That's the, I think the as shot. I think I could make it a little. There we go. As shottier. Oh, wait. What if I did this? What if I added a mask, a linear gradient at the top, and added blue to it?
Yeah.
There we go. I'm not sure I like that blue.
Yeah.
Get your fire and ice.
Look, anybody that quotes a Pat Benatar on our show is a hero. Benatar song.
Very cool.
But yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah. That's. See, I wish I'd showed that first now. Like, I took one on the ground.
Yeah. It's before and after. There you go.
Yeah. All right.
But it is. Those are great. At an air show, to shoot the statics. So like, people forget about that. And then what's cool about that is you usually can, with the bigger ones, again, wait for the awesome light.
Yeah.
Yeah, really get the awesome light.
All right, hey, we have some shout outs, but we didn't do them. Did we do our shout outs?
No, we didn't do any shout outs.
Let's shout them. Let's shout them.
Let's see who we got. We got Teresa. Teresa saying hi from Somerville, Florida. We've got Steven saying hi from Austin, Texas. Adrian saying hi from Guadalajara, Mexico. Bob saying hi from Scottsdale, Arizona. Tony from Duluth. Linda from Montana.
Ooh,
Thomas saying Germany. Hi. Greetings from Dusseldorf, Germany.
Hey, Thomas, wow. I've been to Dusseldorf, and the one thing I can say about Dusseldorf is everyone there is friendlier than in Hungary.
And then Lori is saying hi from Newfoundland. Yeah. Lou saying hi from Wake Forest. Dale saying hi from Iowa. Stuart saying hi all the way from
Long Island.
Yep. Lisa Wall saying hi from sunny Venice. And then Marianne saying hi all the way from London.
Wow. All right, Marianne, how you doing? All right.
World.
There was one more thing I wanted to mention. Now, I mentioned this just a few weeks ago on an episode that we did about getting access to events. And I think it bears repeating in what we're talking about today. So one year I wanted to shoot an indie race that happens in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I applied to do it, and the guy said, look, we're already full. All photographers are spoken for. And I'm like, oh, I really wanted to shoot your race. I'm a local sports photographer. And he says, okay, how about this? If you'll come and do something none of my photographers will do, I'll let you shoot it. It's like a 3-day event. He goes, you can have a whole day of shooting anything you want. Shoot the cars to death. But I need you to spend the other 2 days just shooting the sponsors. That's a big thing. Sponsors want to get pictures of that they're at the event. Yeah. They want to see people and planes and all. In this case, it's an Indy race. So I got the actual Indy Racing League to hire me for this weekend. So I did it. Day one, I'm not even on the track. I'm walking around getting people to pose, and I would go up and say, hi, I'm shooting for the Indy Racing League's website. Can I get you guys to just pose and give me a cheer? Everybody did it. No one said no. Everybody's like, where's this going? Is it going on their website? Well, it's just for their social media, right? They're putting it up on Twitter and whatever, online. So everybody that I asked, everybody, I got the greatest shots of people just cheering and rocking out and having fun and arms around each other with their friends. And they got snacks and they got food and they got hats and shirts and they look like, you know, they're having a great time. And this is what Joe was talking about, where a race is more than about the cars and it's more than about right. The pit. You know, there's all these people, tens of thousands, having fun and enjoying a day with their family, and they're hanging out and laughing and, you know, drinking yeah. and eating. But so I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. I did my assignment mm-hmm. because the guy says, I cannot get my photographers to shoot this other stuff. Now, you do a good job of getting your guys to do it.
Yes.
But apparently this is a struggle for event photographers. So I did, and I turned on hundreds of shots of sponsors, and I shot every sponsor. I went, if it was Goodyear, I'm shooting the Goodyear, the area mm-hmm. and the entrance to their thing and all, and I gave them all these shots. Soon as the race was done, he invited me to come and shoot the Indianapolis 500 because I'm the guy that did the job. I went and I actually did it.
That's it,
Scott.
They
needed.
That's it. If you want to do events and then want to do more events, give the person who has hired you or credentialed you what they actually want.
Yeah.
Not what you want.
It's the same cars at every race. Do you think they needed another car, another,
mm-mm.
you know, maybe the yeah. guy crossing the finish yeah. line, maybe. But outside maybe. Of that, maybe.
Same yeah. like the air show. You always have the same airplanes. So
it's
yeah.
the same airplanes. Yeah. Right. And you know, I complain about that, Joe.
Yeah.
I do. Because here's what it is. How many years have we shot the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds? Mm.
Oh yeah, now we're gonna get on this rant.
Yeah. So
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, seriously, Sun and Fun.
Seriously,
Oshkosh, can you not call somebody else?
There's nobody else to call. That's what the problem is.
We need to call people.
No.
There's gotta be people.
No, there's not. There's not. Because you look and look, there's Fifi. All right, oh, here comes the P-51 that you shot. How many shots I have from years ago of that same. They only make so many P-51s that still fly. Mm-hmm. And they're all at air shows. If they fly, they're at an air show. Now, 1 year you might have, like you said, the B1 might come yeah. 1 year, and next year it's the C5A Galaxy. You had the Connie there this year. But it's essentially the same shows. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, This is why, at the end of next month, I'm flying to England, and I'm going to shoot the Shuttleworth Air Show, because I want to shoot the Red Arrows, which is their, the Brits' version of the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds.
Yeah, the formation.
And you're going to see tornadoes and Spitfires and all the, every once in a while we see, I got one shot of Spitfire once at Oshkosh, but you don't see them very often. And so they run an air show that looks nothing like our air show. Yeah. I'm looking at the list, they have all the list
and
of
you're
the
like,
statics.
I've never
and you're
seen
like,
that.
I want to see these shows. And they're bringing in planes from other countries. Like,
that's
also, they're going to have other
I
countries.
I think we could do a little bit of that, but we don't. We don't.
But you know what? No one's complaining because
I know.
Because we're they I, want us. I know. They're looking at what the Thunderbirds are doing, and we're looking at taking a picture of them. Yeah. Like, the crowd loves the show every
mentality.
Time. And you know what? It is. If you go see now, I don't know if you haven't seen like the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds. They do an entire show. They don't just fly by. From the moment they arrive at the side of the planes, there is a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, there's precision in
there's
everything.
All this precision demonstration of how they do every single thing with the perfect timing. You have all these mechanics and everybody that move in concert, and everything is done in a very precision way. Now,
it's everything before they fly.
It's every, yeah. And then there are one of the pilots that doesn't fly is actually doing the announcing, and they're talking about, you know, the precision and how they drill and how they train and on and on and on. It is, the whole thing is the best marketing thing the
Very
Navy
impressive.
Or the Air Force could ever have. Because, and in, it wasn't in Lakeland, it was in at the Naval Air Station, one of the Thunderbirds, no, excuse me, one of the Blue Angels was a woman. Mm-hmm. Woman pilot, yeah. And I'm like, you know, as a father of a daughter, I'm like, wow, my daughter could go, I could do that. Not that my daughter's going to do it. It's a risky job. No, but for
yeah,
her.
I saw her at the Orlando Air Show. She was at the Orlando Air Show.
Right.
Yeah.
But that anyone now can look and say, you know, I could do that. You know, it's like, and I met, when I was there, I got to meet one of the Blue Angels, and he was telling his story. To the crowd, and he said, I was a little kid at the air show, and I yeah. saw these planes, and I said, I want to do that. And son of a gun, he's flying it. You know,
that's just awesome.
Anyway, but I thought that
yeah,
was
yeah. If you ever get a chance, it is a great thing. The other thing that's great about it, as we're all photographers here, it is one of those great equalizers. That as long as you've got a telephoto lens and you're near the air show, the possibility of you getting a great shot is just as high as the most professional
yeah,
photographer
exactly.
that is there.
And it's one of the things that we, and Eric and I talk about this, that we love about air show photography, is because, like, you're not going to get the kind of shots you want at a football game unless you're on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You can go up three rows, and it's just not the same. It's just not. And they have a tremendous advantage of access. At a boxing ring or any of these mm-hmm. other places, they have a level of access that we're not going to have. But at an air show, everybody can get great shots. Everybody.
And you can bring in your equipment.
You can bring in
anything.
Like
with a football game or basketball, they'll limit what cameras and what lenses.
You can only have this long a lens.
Like, they don't, as long as it's transparent and you're not trying to hide anything, you can bring
That's
in
it.
Whatever.
The air show, you got it all, whatever you want to do. And what's neat is, I mean, you're even if you just want yourself personally, just airplane pictures. You don't have to get in front of the lines. You get behind the lines and you got your airplanes right there going by. Mm-hmm. If you just want the tail of a C-5 Galaxy with the plane, you have that access. You don't need to be right in front of it and have the full access to the air show, and you still get great pictures.
Oh yeah, you don't have to pay for the premium tickets is what he's telling you. Joe, so just for now, Eric and I did a class with your help, by the way. Thank you very much. We did a class on shooting your first air show. And did we show the promo for that? Did we?
I don't know.
We've been yakking on the brakes.
Yeah,
but
we've been yakking.
But maybe somebody will dig it up while we're talking here, because we're just about done. But we did it at an air show. We actually did it at Sun and Fun,
yeah.
And then we did it in a hangar, you know, some of the other stuff. But
at
just for people that want to shoot the first air show and they haven't, what millimeter lens do you think is kind of, for them to get the kind of shots they want? Now, you will see a million people shooting with their iPhones.
Yes.
You will see just iPhones
yeah,
everywhere. And they're all doing pinch to zoom. Mm-hmm. So the pictures are not going to be. If you pinch to zoom on your phone, it's bad.
So you're in trouble already.
You're in trouble. If you're not using optical lenses, now they're just kind of making up pixels, and it gets soft and awful. But if you were, let's say a friend says, "Hey Joe, I'm going to come to Sun and Fun for the first time. What lens should I bring? What would you recommend?"
I would ask them also, what do you want to shoot? Do you want to just shoot airplanes? If that's all they want to do, a good zoom lens, anything from a 200 to, if you can get up to 600 to get close up. If you can even get up to 800, you'll get the pilot in the airplane in the cockpit. But that's if you want to shoot only airplanes. If you want to shoot static, that's all you want to do. You want to walk around and you got airplanes sitting there right in front of you. They're not moving.
And that's my buddy Paul. He wants to shoot statics.
So you want to do that? A good little wide angle, anywhere from, depending on how big of a wide you want, from 14 to 24. Even a regular 50 millimeter lens would work for that. Just depends on how.
Now, you know, that's where an iPhone works well.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. Eric and I were in front of a C5A Galaxy last year?
Yeah.
Or the year before, maybe, at Sun and Fun.
It was last year.
And I have my 24 to 240, and I go 24 wide, and it will not capture it. So I reach in my pocket, I take my iPhone, and I put it on 0.5. When you take your iPhone and put it at 0.5, it's 13 millimeters wide.
There you go.
13. It took the whole plane in, mm-hmm. and it looked great. If you just remember to turn on RAW and 48 megapixels, it's like huge, and you get this great shot.
Sometimes at an air show, you cannot back up far enough to get the whole airplane in if you don't have the right lens, because you got people around you got cones in front of you. So having that capability, amazing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, when this is stepping away from what we're talking about, when I was in Budapest, we used our iPhones a number of different times. Like, there was a number of different times where I would tell people, hey, we're going to shoot in this train station. We're not going to be able to set up tripods because there's hundreds of people going by. Use your iPhone's built-in long exposure. And if you'll give me a second, I want to look up a picture that Sherry took mm-hmm. with her iPhone. And so the iPhone has this feature. If you shoot in live mode, right?
Yeah.
So it's live has to be on. You see the little circle in the corner, the little yellow thing that says live. If you just take a regular photo, after the photo is taken, you can click on the word live and a little pop-down menu chooses, and you hit long exposure. It will calculate for a few seconds and it will create a long exposure.
It's really cool.
It's amazingly well. But her shot was so good, I thought that she did it. I said, "Did you use an ND?" She's like, "No, it's my iPhone." I'm like, "I'm gonna find it real quick because I think I have it." But this shot, I hope I have it. I hope I can't remember if she showed it. No, yeah, she had it. I think I have it.
Like,
let me go find
cool
it.
About that feature too. Well, if you're gonna use that feature, one thing I'd recommend is, it's basically taking a little video. So when you're taking a shot in live view, hold the frame for a second or two. Like, don't move your camera around. Just kind of hold it like you would a long exposure handheld. And then what's cool is it does all the calculations for you afterwards. And what's cool too is you don't even have to do long exposure. You can do bounce. So it'll like loop or bounce the video back and forth. There's really
cool. It's really annoying.
There's a bunch of other things you can do with it. The looping feature can be cool sometimes, but the long exposure is really nice. If you want to go longer than the long exposure on the iPhone, there's a really cool app called Reheld, R-E-E-Held. That app will allow you to go up to 30 seconds handheld. And as long as you're holding it still, it's like you're talking about. You look at the photo and you wouldn't tell that it's not a long exposure on the tripod.
Phones these days are amazing. Some of the things they can do.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the website right up there with it Reheld. And that's what's the cool thing is you just select the amount of time you want, hit the little button, and let it go.
I'm still looking here. I hope I have it.
And then what's even cooler, we're going to go farther, you use an app called Even Longer. And Even Longer, you have to put that on a tripod.
Yeah.
This is where you start getting into tripod space. I need like more. But at that point, you could run it for however long you wanted. And I've ran 20-minute long exposures that look just like if I would have stacked my 10-stop and my 6-stop ND, ran it for 20 minutes. That 20-minute exposure on even longer looks almost the same. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Guys, take a look at this shot.
Right?
iPhone.
Wow.
iPhone shot.
Very
that
cool.
That is taking a regular photograph and then turning it to long exposure, and then of course she converted it to black and white.
I love
Lightroom.
It. Isn't I love that it because it's just got enough motion.
Yes.
And then the trains are
the
frozen.
Trains are solid.
The station's frozen.
And then
the
you
ground's
got that,
frozen.
That bright white light at the end of the. I mean, I think this is a terrific, terrific shot.
Yep.
Is this like people walking into the bright light?
It's actually people walking away from the bright light. So okay. These people are all resurrected. But anyway, isn't Coming that back. Wild? I mean, I'll make it bigger. This is a cool shot.
It's amazing.
Isn't that something? Yeah. iPhone.
And all with an iPhone.
And you know what's terrible is, why can't we do this on our SLRs? Or why isn't there an ND filter in our camera that just lets us do it?
Don't get us started.
We can do this all day.
Yeah. Well, all right. We got to give away surprises.
Yeah, we're already over time.
Yes. So we've got the Platypod disc is going to Jeannie W. We've got Mike S. Winning the On One No Noise 2024. Kathy A. winning the How Do I Do That in Photoshop book. Nanette Stannard winning the V-flat. Bruce Fotelka winning the Photoshop for Digital Photographers. Bob Bryant is winning the Retouch for Me, the Matify. And then Jeff Ryan is winning the Slick Pick portfolio. So if you won, just email us over at gridprize@kelby1.com and we'll verify your information and then send out your prize. Just please try to do that by this Friday.
Hey, I think I found a way to open up No Noise without going through Photo Raw by doing it through Photoshop. So show my screen real quick. And when it comes up, I think you'll see Eric's pictures if it works the way I hope it does. Take a look. Yes? There,
it is.
That's Eric's picture.
Wow.
Yep. That was it. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
And that was anticlimactic.
No, but those shots, I mean, you would think like that rocket's really bright, but it was at night and I have to freeze the action. So you've got to boost up your ISO.
Yeah.
And because that ISO, you see all that grain, but that program wipes
it right out. Yeah.
It's 6400 is like, I think like magical. It's like the perfect one because it gives you enough ISO to like excite the sensor, but it's easy to remove. Like you can wipe 6400 down. It's kind of equivalent of like 400 or 800 after you're done.
And it gives you all the detail.
Yeah. Oh, it's the great. Detail is amazing. And so this is something I talked about to my group is we, you know, we do teaching sessions where we have our own classroom and all that stuff. And one of the things I said was, don't be afraid to shoot at high ISOs anymore.
Don't.
You know, Lightroom's got it built in. You can use a plugin that's way faster. The Lightroom one works well, but my goodness, is it slow. Like it can go 30, 40 a minute where the On One is like 3 seconds or four. Wow. It's like a minute feels like 10 minutes when you're sitting in front of your computer waiting. Yeah, well, anyway, Joe, thank you very much. Joe, do you have an Instagram or something people can go check out your stuff?
Yes, I have just a few photos on my Instagram is Shamu Joe.
Shamu Joe?
Yeah, because I worked at SeaWorld, so I kind of kept the name Shamu
there
Joe.
There it is. Look at that.
Oh, there you are. And,
yeah.
And I took a picture of my, Mustang and a rocket photobombed me.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh man, that's the worst.
It's amazing.
All right. Well, thank you for being on, Joe. And
thank you,
Mr. Kuna, where can people go see your photos?
Just Eric Kuna. Just look up my name, E-R-I-K-K-U-N-A. It's like that everywhere.
All right. Are we here next week?
We are here next week. Yes.
And then are we here the week after?
We are not here the week after.
Where are we, Eric?
We're going to be in sensational Santorini.
Sensational Ooh. Santorini. Yeah, we are.
Yep.
Yep, yeah. We're going there. We're going to get that shot right there, but we're going to not have a boat there.
Oh, we were talking about it yesterday. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, Santorini's going to be great.
Wow.
And we're going to eat some good food in Santorini. They got food there.
So they have McDonald's there?
Yeah, they got to make. There is a McDonald's there.
I'm not joking.
Serious.
Not far from our hotel.
I believe we've mapped it. I think it's like less than a quarter mile from the hotel.
There was a McDonald's right on the corner from our Budapest hotel, but when we.
But McDonald's in other countries,
yes.
Totally not like ours.
Yeah. Well, totally not. That's not true. They have a Big Mac, but they don't call the quarter pounder because they don't use pounds.
Yes.
They call it like a McRoyal or whatever.
Yeah.
But. What they do have that's different is each country is allowed to have a localized menu. Yes. So we went by a sign and they showed this chicken thing with this weird stuff on it. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the local. It's weird stuff. And like the ones in Germany serve beer at McDonald's, right?
Yep. Yep.
So there's a localized. So there's an American menu.
Yes.
And then you can get
cheeseburger and fries.
In Morocco, they had the Macarabia.
Oh, yeah.
Macarabia.
Yeah, I went with my wife to Morocco, and there's a McDonald's, big sign, Macarabia. I tried it. It was pretty good, actually.
Delicious. All right. Well, thanks to our crew here. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to our studio audience, who is absolutely silent and may have been dead this entire time. That was your cue. That right there was your...
Thank you very much.
It's too late. It's too late now. Trying to redeem themselves at the last end. You know why? You know why they yell? Because we brought food in. So, you know, we feed our studio audiences. That's how desperate we are for someone to come watch our show.
And from McDonald's.
Hey, it's medium fries, too. We didn't skimp on the small fry.
We got a Mac Florida.
Medium fry. We got a Mac Florida. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Dobson, who did, I think, say pretty reasonably, it was an adequate job today.
Adequate.
I think it was little satisfactory.
The artistic flipping around. The flip was might have been a little.
Was a little artsy. Oh, look! Yeah. Look at the way Joe's head's cut off.
It's back.
It's back, but it's
not all right. We'll see you guys next week, and hopefully, Juan's
take
back.
Care, everybody. Hopefully, Juan's back. That was mean.
Everyone, I'm pro nature photographer Ian Plant, and I bet when you make wildlife photos, you're really excited. You're working with these beautiful subjects. But I have to ask you this. Do you sometimes get back home and look at your photos and you're just really disappointed? Even though you were photographing a beautiful subject, your resulting photographs just aren't capturing the true essence of your wildlife subject? Well, that happens to me all the time. The reason why it does is because you get too excited about the wildlife subject. What you need to do is take a step back and think about ways you can get creative with light, with composition, with your camera settings, and other techniques to take your wildlife photos to the next level. So check out my class. It will change the way you think about wildlife photography, and it will force you to start getting more creative about your visual design and the creative use of exposure and light. And that will allow you to make compelling artistic wildlife photos that get noticed.
Portrait and wedding photographer based in Valencia, Spain.
I do mainly commercial and editorial photography, and I retouch up to 100 photos a month.
We shoot almost every day for all kinds of clients, such as commercial, beauty, and fashion. And we retouch our work more often, like every other day.
I used to spend over 1 hour for one photo.
If we want professional results, we must remove skin blemishes, do micro dodge and burn, highlight eyes, whiten teeth, and even reduce wrinkles in clothes. And this can easily take me up to 2 hours of work for each photo.
So when I saw that there's a plugin for Photoshop that helps you retouch quicker, I was eager to get my hands on it.
I read many feedbacks about it, and I found a lot of positive reviews, which made me to consider buying my first plugin.
One of the challenges we have at the end of a session or wedding is to achieve an edition in our photograph that looks natural. This is where retouch for me has become a game changer.
I love the feature that you can pick how much effect it has on your photo and you can adjust it accordingly to your style.
I saved a lot of time and always end up having amazing results with my work.
I am extremely happy with the quality.
Now I am more efficient and have more time to spare with my family.